As you're driving down Interstate 76 towards Philadelphia, as with most cities, you come around the final bend along the Schuylkill River. I mean, you see the spires of the city reaching to the heavens. So it's a beautiful panorama of a city that has incredible life within it. And yet in each city and each town, there's a reality of harshness of life. When I was teaching in Center City a number of years ago, I was walking from the train to the school I was teaching at, and I walked by one of those big heater grates. Well, it feels like a heater grate. It's one of the subway grates to allow air to transport from the ground level down to the subway level. And on top of the heater grate, there is a middle-aged man, and he had a little sign there. It said Joseph, and he was just lying right on top of the grate for heat. And I was walking towards him, and he was asleep there, and I stopped for a second, wondering, well, should I stop and ask him if he's okay? And he was covered over with his black jacket, and seemed like he was asleep, so I just kept walking. Well, this happened every day for about 10 days. I would walk by in the same city grate. There was this fellow there with a jacket, maybe a new blanket, sometimes on top of a cardboard box, sometimes not, with a little sign that said Joseph. Then on the 11th day, excuse me, I walked past the same grate, and Joseph wasn't there. To this day, I don't know where Joseph is. You see, I wonder if all of us realize and recognize that we are all beggars. Contrary to what we generally perceive or think, it's not sinful to be a beggar. You see, the definition of being a beggar is to be with great need, to be destitute, to be helpless and powerless, much like Joseph was. This is a difficulty of our situation, that we are all beggars and that we all need and we all want many times more than what the Lord has given. We don't like to remain dependent and needy and begging. So the easiest way out of being a beggar is to judge one another, our brothers and sisters, and when circumstance arises, to dissect the life of others so that we might believe we are deserving of greater. I want to read from Luke chapter 16 about a beggar that we should all get to know. Luke 16, verse 19. There is a rich man who is clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner,
bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish.
The difficulty of our situation. The hardest thing to find, the hardest thing to give, is compassion. We all want to receive it, don't we? But we measure very carefully. We carefully measure how much we give. The letter to the Colossian church, as Bob had read, it's written by the Apostle Paul, who's circumstantially in prison while he's writing. And it's written to respond to the people in the church who are adopting legalistic and additional gospel elements in a heretical lifestyle. You see, the message of forgiveness of sin, which perhaps you have heard, through the death and resurrection of Christ, had transformed the lives of many in Colossae. And yet the people of the church were being influenced by leaders who are adding rituals, legalist requirements, if they were to be true believers. And the lie of legalism that is after you and me, after we become believers in Christ, is that we don't deserve to be helpless and powerless anymore. So we add on other things. And when we do that, the lie is that we become great in the eyes of others. And we will see as God sees. Paul, in this section of the letter, is going to remind them, and he's reminding us today, that we are made for personal, compassionate relationships. When you're lonely, or when you're hurting, or how about when you're angry, or you're frustrated, or you want to judge your brother, let me ask you, what are you in need of? You're in need of a personal, compassionate relationship. You cannot find healing, we cannot find peace, we cannot find understanding unless we're working in and through a compassionate relationship. You might say, well, so what? I can work through a relationship without having compassion. And we do that, when we do that, the difference is we try to live and approach others through obligation. And when we do that, we'll never fulfill the requirements of the law. We will never get close to anyone. But if you live and approach others through a compassionate personal relationship, then you, my friends, will see that we are called to live a beggar's life with contentment and joy. We'll see that this is the message that Paul brings us today. I'm going to be focusing on verse 12 and following. This begins with recognizing that we are created to be in a compassionate relationship. A compassionate relationship first with the only personal and compassionate God. The only way out of our difficult situations, as in verse 12 it reads, is to clothe yourself with Christ. We see that a handful of times in Paul's writing in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. He tells us, put off your old clothes and put these new ones on. Put on the covering of Christ. See, the Colossians had already done this, though. They had already put on the new clothing, the new robe from Christ. They already did this. They already knew that they were sinners. They already knew they were unclean. They were destitute. And they were separated from God until they put on Christ as Savior.
Thank you. And they had new clothes. So here's the church of Colossae. And they want to put back on their old clothes. What is Paul addressing? From verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And there's some suggestions there as to, well, those earthly things that Colossae is struggling with. So I ask you, what is earthly in you? What old clothes are you putting back on to sustain you? Many of you gentlemen in the church, perhaps you go to a local dry cleaning and you drop off your shirts. If you're going to have an important meeting or interview coming up and you have one of your shirts pressed and starched, or perhaps you remember on your wedding day or an important function, you got a pressed shirt for your tuxedo. And when you slide your arm into that fresh, pressed and starched white shirt, you put your arm all the way through to the outside and you pull the shirt around you, and immediately you feel that, boy, this shirt feels incredible. It fits perfectly. It smells great. I'm ready for this meeting, or I'm ready to go. Now, in comparison, if you think of your old sports bag and when you were playing soccer, or you're on a camping trip and you're camping for 3 days and you have to put that same shirt on for the third or fourth time after it rained and you sweated and you got dirt on it and maybe a little blood and other stuff because you're working so hard. Put it back in your bag or back in your backpack and you pull it out and say, I have to wear this again. Because it's the only shirt you have, maybe. When we believe in the Savior, Jesus Christ, when we believe upon His finished work, He clothes us with a fresh, pressed, perfect robe, which is Himself. And when we don't recognize and remember that we were the beggar at one time and we needed that cloak, that covering, so badly in our life so that we can be compassionate to others, we reach for our sports bag, our backpack, and we pull out the smelly rags that we used the day before or in our life before. Paul reminds us here in verse 12, put on then. It's the Greek word endisose. It's a command. It's imperative. He says, put your clothes on, man. Reminding us here, hey, remember who you are. You're chosen. You're holy. You're beloved. These were no ordinary people. We were no ordinary people because God pursued us until that time He called for us to believe. And He's chosen you. And He's set you apart. And you, my friends, are dearly loved. The tenderness of the Creator of the universe dearly loves you. Paul reminds the church of Colossae in verse 9, do not lie to one another about this. As if going back to your old rags is better. As if going back to separation from God is better. And it seems this is one of Paul's repetitive instructions to all the churches, as in Galatians 3. Put on Christ. Believe upon the Lord Jesus actively like a garment. And when you do this, then you, because of a personal, compassionate relationship with Him, we will have compassionate hearts, having a tenderness towards those who suffer. Now, if you look around here, you look at each other, if you know one another, you cannot deny that each one of us here today suffers. Each one of us here today suffers. We all suffer. And yet in Christ, we no longer have to judge one another. even when we see or know something that's wrong. Instead, because of the new, compassionate, personal heart that God has shared himself with us, we can say, that's wrong. But instead of stopping there, we can say, that's wrong. How can I be compassionate to him? That's wrong. How can I be compassionate to this family? You see, our response is most important, because that response is telling us and is telling others that we either are living under the cloak of Christ, putting on the garment of that compassionate Lord, or enjoying the filthy rags. Do you remember the parable of the lost son? When the riches his father gave him were spent, in Luke 15, and the son returns home a beggar, do you remember? The father receives him and runs down the road to meet him and dresses him in the finest robe. This is how God receives us. And it's the hardest thing to do. To give that same compassion. Because out of ourselves, out of our gym bag, our backpack with those smelly clothes, we don't have much to give. Only out of Christ can we truly give compassion without return, without expectation, without counting loss, without hesitation. We're dependent on Christ's powerful means of giving. Compassionate hearts come from knowing and experiencing the sacrifice of others. And when God became man, sending his Son, Jesus Christ, what did the Son put off? He put off his own glory. He set his glory aside. And when the Son did this, he purposely brought to the forefront, for all creation to see, perfect humility, perfect kindness, gentleness, meekness, and patience. Christ put off the glory of himself so that he might become the garment for you. When you are in Christ, you participate in the death, the resurrection of Christ, and wearing that garment. Because of this powerful work, there is now the active person of Christ who desires to clothe you. Romans 13:12 calls it the armor of light. When you put on Christ himself, you can do nothing yet be compassionate to the world around you. Our response is so critical. I was in a short lecture a couple years ago, and the lecturer, he was lecturing on a particular point of theology, and at the end of class, he asked, excuse me, at the end of class, he asked, are there any questions or any comments? And one of the students just outburst in disagreement for what the professor was saying. And he didn't just disagree, but he sort of went at the professor as far as his character, as far as understanding Scripture and understanding how Christ works within this particular theological point. You know, so it's in a class of about 30 students. Well, you would think, you know, the professor certainly has the right to stand up and you know, take the individual out of the class or whatnot, or give it back to them. But instead, the professor reiterated some of the things that the student said, answered, not defensively, but answered where some of those things might have come from. And actually validated some of the concerns that the student had. And you see, what the professor did, instead of what was completely in his right to respond with harshness, he responded with a compassionate, personal relationship of Christ. So when we have that dispute,
And that disagreement with our spouse or our friend, that issue that we want to judge our brother on, or the anger that we feel then when we deserve something better, Paul commands us, like he did the Colossians, clothe yourself. Put on Christ. If you find yourself judging a brother or sister, read this, or read James 2:13. For mercy triumphs over judgment. Put your clothes on. Put him on. Christ gives himself to you so that you may be to one another that humility that Christ himself was. So that you can live in kindness and gentleness. And above all, as we see in later verses, in verse 15, loving. Do you know what happens when we clothe ourselves with Christ? Not just in that moment. Not just for that one situation or relationship. But believe it or not, Christ changed our hearts. And he says, the peace of Christ will rule in your hearts. You see this in verse 19 or verse 15. And verse 16 says, you will have a heart of thankfulness when you teach, admonish, and encourage. We do it with the word of Christ that dwells richly in us. I don't know where Joseph is. I'm sad to say. And I'm sad to say that I didn't stop. And I'm sad to say I didn't take the time. Because he was a beggar. And I was quietly ashamed if I stopped to talk to a beggar. What he might do. What I might lose. How I was unable. But when we encourage and teach and admonish one another with compassionate hearts, we do it with Christ. Now this week, many of us are going to our family's homes, joining with loved ones, parents, neighbors, and friends. And we're celebrating Thanksgiving, a table that's spread for us. A wonderful time of giving thanks. A wonderful time of recognizing that we are provided for. We are provided for because God the Father has a powerful means of receiving. He has remembered his mercy. He has not withheld his compassion for you. Psalm 25, verse 6 says, remember your mercy, O Lord. Remember not the sins of my youth, but according to your steadfast love, remember me. God the Father's compassion is to you. It's powerful. Where he could have left us all as beggars, as Josephs without hope, but instead he's had compassion on us. Temporarily and eternally, he gives us his Son. And he's completed that work through him. And praise God, he has reconciled us beggars, to himself. Not because we were beggars deserving fine linen or clothes, or deserving forgiveness for all the brokenness that we've caused, but instead of sending a rich man like you away, he desires to receive you as his son and daughter, chosen and beloved. The Lord, I pray, has raised you up with him through faith. If you have not believed that you were a beggar in need, I ask that you believe today.
because we all need the Savior Jesus Christ to clothe us with perfect clothing, the perfect robe, to be received as His beloved one, His beloved children. You will be able to live and give through Christ. And you are able, this week especially, to give out of a compassionate personal relationship with Christ. You can give that compassion, that kindness, that gentleness to another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've heard the word compassion 1,000 times before. We've heard the instructions of loving our neighbor and loving our enemies, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you make it different for us, that we don't decline our hand or a word of love or a word of encouragement or a giving of something that we don't want to part with, Lord, and yet someone else needs it. Lord, we pray that you make it different for us. And remind us, Lord, that you have given us a garment that is beautiful beyond measure, Lord, because that garment is you. Lord, I pray, as you cover us, as you have forgiven our sin, for us to be glorious, shining lights. Lord, I pray that you use us this week in a mighty way, that we all as beggars will know your grace, your mercy, and the gift that you have given. In Christ's name we pray. We're going to close our worship today in singing "May the Mind of Christ My Savior," hymn number 644. As we sing this hymn, I pray that you respond today in your hearts. How can I be compassionately different? Please stand and sing to the praise of our Christ. Father, we thank you that you have given us victory. You have given us the means, Lord, to call ourselves victorious in you because of how you have clothed us Lord, we pray for this week as we meet with others. May our thankfulness, Lord, may our compassion, Lord, be out there for them to see, so that they, Lord, may see you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.